Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How can we become true Christians? What is the key? Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And then we saw last time that many of them try and do what God told them to do, but they do it their way instead of God's way. Now, let's just suppose this, and that way that Jesus said was lawlessness. And lawlessness is breaking the commandments of God, or saying that they're done away, or thinking that men's way is better than God's way. Or they have a religion which professes to be Christian, but really is not. And we saw how Jesus said that you have to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. You have to practice what Jesus has said and taught. And that is a criteria. So let's come back here to Matthew 7, where we left off last time, where even those who thought they were doing a work for Jesus, Jesus said, I don't know you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. Now let's see what Jesus says to those who do what he said. You know, and there's a simple way to define the simplicity of Christ and the simplicity of the Bible, and the simplicity in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is reduced down to three words, obey my voice. And then that is followed up with love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Now, if you do that, won't you be wanting to do what Jesus said? Yes, indeed. Now, let's come here back to Matthew 7. So Jesus says this in verse 24. Therefore, everyone, that means anyone, and how many have heard the words of Jesus? How many back then when Jesus was preaching? How many thousands and thousands and thousands heard what he said? But how many were converted? Very few. Now, after the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 repented and were baptized and were added to the church. But you go down through time and history, and when you come to the end time, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the true faith on earth? Because it's been so overrun with religions of men professing to be Christian. But there are those people who belong to Christ. There are those who believe him. There are those who love him. There are those who obey him. There are those who serve him. And notice what Jesus said about those. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them, that is the key, practices them. Not hears them and says, oh, that's lovely, and immediately ignore it, run off and do whatever you want to do. No. And practices them, doing them day in and day out, all the time, under all circumstances. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And Christian living then and a Christian life is like building a house. And the foundational stone is Jesus Christ. And on that, you can't build anything that is really Christian unless you do what God says. So notice, and the rain came and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. This also shows that being a true Christian is not going to be easy. This also shows that there will be trials and tests and difficulties that we have to live through, and we have to remain faithful and remain grounded on that rock, and that rock is Christ. Then he compares that now to the one who did not practice these things. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Now, sand is nice and wonderful. It's flat. Boy, it's compacted. Man, you can put down a slab foundation and you throw up a house and nothing flat on that. Now, every once in a while when I'm driving along and looking at the scenery, I see where someone built a house in a dry river valley. And I'm thinking, I wonder what would happen if a lot of rain came. And then I'm reminded of what happened up in the Tetons there in Idaho, where they had a dam. And it was a very narrow gorge where they built the dam. And the dam went back for 30 miles, holding back the water. And I know when driving up there, you come up the road, and then you go up like this, and you go up over the top, and the dam is on the right-hand side. And as soon as you get to the top, you look out, and there's water as far as the eye can see. And I remember thinking, every time I would go up that section of the highway and look at this dam, and it was an earthen dam, I thought, I wonder what would happen if the dam broke. Because all along the river there were houses built right on the stream bed. And lo and behold, one year, it broke. Poof! Everything was washed away in a flash. And remember the floods we've had this year? Remember the tsunami over in Japan? In an instant. So you see, if you're going to be a true Christian, you have to build on the rock. And that rock is Christ. And the things that you do, you practice what the Father has said we are to do and what Jesus said we are to do. So, verse 27 says, for those who build on the sand, and the rain came down and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. How about your Christian life? How can you become a true Christian? What if you really, really want to know about God? What if your heart's desire is to learn of Jesus Christ and God the Father? How can you find your way out of the maze of all the things that men have done and producing a religion or a denomination that professes Christianity, but it's not? Where do you begin? Well, the place to begin is you begin seeking God His way, not the way that you think. It's going to involve you examining your life, looking at the words of Christ, looking at the laws of God, looking at your own behavior, seeing what you are doing. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to stop where you are going, the way that you are headed? Are you tired of living in sin? Are you tired of the penalties that come along? Well, then you can turn to Christ. Here in chapter 7, let's come back here to verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. So you have to ask Jesus Christ and God the Father, help me to find and understand your way and your truth. That's why in Church at Home we have so many helps that you can download. Likewise, on cbcg.org, we have books that you can write for. Write for the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And there it gives you the beginning steps on how you can recover yourself from the collapse of Christianity that's in the world and establish yourself and become a true Christian. You have to ask. The next thing is you have to seek. So Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now you have to understand that you have to apply this to the Word of God. This means that you're going to be involved in praying, in studying, in examining the Word of God, in examining your life. And we will see that God will begin to deal with you. and will begin to call you. But the answer to that question is, will you follow through with God? All right, now let's see how we are to seek God. Let's come here to Psalm 119 and verse 2. Now, this is something that we need to do. It's going to require that when you come to God, because it says there in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the one who comes to God, and that's what you're trying to do, must believe that he exists, and that means believe everything that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So are you willing to do that? Is that how you want to live your life? And Psalm 119 agrees fully with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this tells you how great and wonderful and fantastic the Word of God really is, and how true and righteous and holy that it really is, and how this is going to help you in seeking God. And we will see that God has spiritual mechanisms in place where he knows. If you cry out to him, he will hear. If you pray to him, he will hear. If you desire to keep his commandments, he will understand. Let's read it. Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And in the New Testament is called the way of truth. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. Is that what you're doing? Now, what do we find there in Matthew 22? The greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said, that's the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Because, you see, that is God's expression of love to you and his way on how you can love him. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's how you seek him with the whole heart. Notice what it says here. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 3. Isn't that amazing? If you're keeping the commandments of God, you're not sinning. Not true? Sin is a transgression of the law. Is that not true? So if you're not transgressing the law, you're not walking in iniquity, you're doing no iniquity. Now come over here to verse 10. With all my heart I have sought you. Are you seeking God with all your heart? You can. Get on your knees. Repent of your sins. Ask God for his help. Look at your life. Look at the troubles that you are in. Look at the problems that you are having. Ask God to hear you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to rescue you. He will. He will begin dealing with you. Now, we know in Isaiah 55, this is an important scripture to keep in mind and always remember. And here is a promise. And we're coming to a time when God is going to be far off to a lot of people because there are very few that love God and keep his commandments, and there are very few that love the commandments of God. Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because the time is going to be, he's going to be far off. And God can be near. And God will help you. But notice what we have to do. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We've got to change the way that we think with the laws of God, replacing the sin that is in our mind. God wants to write his commandments and laws in our hearts and in our minds as the means by which we live and guide our lives. So there has to be that repentance. There has to be that change. And we are also going to see you need the Spirit of God. You can't do this on your own. You must receive the Spirit of God, which is the power of God, which gives you the strength, which gives you the desire, which gives you the ability to love Him and keep His commandments in the way that He desires. He wants to give you His Spirit, but there are conditions to receiving it. First one is seek God. Let him return to the Lord. That's what repentance is all about. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now notice, this is why we are supposed to follow God's way. See, because the way that we think is right may not necessarily be right. That's why we have to have the laws and commandments of God and the love of God and the Spirit of God to guide us. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. So God is going to accomplish what he desires. God will hear. God will answer. If you want God to call you, you draw close to him. He will. Now let's see how that works. Not many people understand how that works. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's see what Jesus said. And lo and behold, what we're going to find is this. We are going to find that God the Father is directly involved in answering those prayers. John, the 6th chapter. That's why it has to be you come to Christ. Christ is not going to come to you until you first start coming to him. Now, John 6 in verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So God the Father is going to then begin to be involved in your life spiritually. Now God is in heaven, but he has the power to do that. And he will draw you as long as you keep wanting and desiring to do God's will in his way and are willing to obey the things that Christ has said, to obey the things that you find in the Bible. He'll be there. He will give you the strength. And he also has angels to watch over you. See? Now notice a promise, I will raise him up at the last day. So the end result will be the resurrection to eternal life. Let's see what else we have here. Let's understand why we need the words of God rather than our thoughts, as we saw. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So we have to begin replacing our thoughts and our ways with God's ways and to do the things that are right. Now let's come here to John 6 in verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life, and that's the end result of the calling, to receive the Spirit of God, which is the power of God from the begettal of the Father and the Spirit of Christ, to unite with the Spirit of your mind so that you can become converted. That's what conversion is all about. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, how is all of this going to work? The Father is going to draw you. You have to come to Christ and you have to understand what it says here in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, how is God going to do that? Well, very few people understand that God has a spiritual network that he uses. And God understands what's going on the earth. Now, we find that back in the book of Revelation. Very interesting to understand that. And this is something that we need to realize. God knows and tries the thoughts and the heart. He knows, he can know at any time what anyone's thinking. and he sets before us the choices. Are we going to choose life? Are we going to choose his way? Are we going to practice and follow the words of God the Father and Jesus Christ? All right. Let's see about the seven eyes of God. Verse 6, Revelation 5. And the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that are sent into all the earth. So God has this spiritual network going through all the earth to find those who are seeking, to find those who are knocking, to find those who are desiring to do the will and the truth of God. Now let's understand exactly how this works. Let's come to 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Here we are given a promise that if we seek God, we will find him. Now in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 15, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went to meet Asa, who was the king of Judah, and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. See? That's why we have to come to God. And if we do, he will draw us. The Father himself will do that. Okay? Continuing now, verse 2. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now let's come to chapter 16 and verse 9, where it talks about the eyes of the Lord, and those are the seven spirits of God that are sent into the whole earth, because God wants to know, who are those who are seeking me? And he will begin to help, and he will begin to answer. Now, you can claim that promise. If you've never cried out to God or prayed to God, get on your knees, pray to him, ask him to send his Spirit to be with you, ask him to open your mind and your heart, ask him to help you to really seek him in the way that he desires, and he will do it. He will draw you. Now, notice, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the earth. That's God's spiritual network of the seven spirits there in Revelation 5, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him, that is seeking God's way. Now, how can your heart be perfect to God? By repentance, by saying like it is in the prayer, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not as I see, but as you do. Lead me and guide me and direct me with your Spirit and help me to understand. See, this is all a part of being able to seek God. Now, as we will see in the next segment, when you do that, God will answer. God will hear. God will respond. God wants to hear from you. Now, he will send his Spirit to guide you. And he will send his Spirit to be with you. And then you can seek him even more. So this, then, is how you begin to become part of those who are chosen. It's not a man who chooses. It is God. It is not a minister who chooses. It is God. And when he draws you close to him, then you can grow and change and begin to overcome. So what I want you to do, please, I want you to write for the book or order it online, Lord, what should I do? And in there, we answer the questions and explain what you need to do. We even have a section in there on how to pray, a section there how to study. And that all goes along with how to find God and how you can be chosen out of all the other people that are in the world so that you can love God and serve him and receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please go to our other website, cbcg.org. We have many sermons there that you can download, and you can help grow in grace and knowledge and understanding in the Word of God. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.